Preface. We are here to learn to love one another. I do not know what the others are here for. W.H. Auden. During the next 10 years, the human race is destined to finally discover the facts about its true origins and destiny. As part of this discovery, we have to address the overwhelmingly important question of how the phenomena of evil came into the world and into the consciousness of Earth's human inhabitants. This is a question that should be on the mind of every living man and woman. It has been with us for millennia, and it will be with the children of the future if we do not come upon the answer now. We have left the question of evil in the hands of theologians and scientists for too long. This was surely a mistake for, as the casualty statistics clearly testify, the institutions of religion and science have been the worst purveyors of evil that this planet has ever had to endure. After centuries of prevarication and criminality, we can no longer afford to look to these edifices to answer the all-important conundrum of evil. But if we turn from religion and science in this regard, does it mean that we are left in a void? Is there, perhaps, another answer to how the phenomenon of evil came into being? I believe that the answer lies in the ancient records of our forefathers and in the myths and legends of the pre- and post-diluvian epochs that speak of the visitation of the gods or angels. Several key researchers have stated that these beings were actually extraterrestrial entities. I address who they were, why they came here, and show that after their arrival they established their main headquarters at what we now call Atlantis, and from there, they instigated a hybridization program lasting centuries. Their genetic interference of the Earth races resulted in several hybrid creatures, one of whom I will refer to as Homo Atlantis. Each and every living Adamic human of the last 10 millennia or more is descended from this exceptional being. Every one of us has both human and alien DNA. This is exactly what we have been told in all the world's sundry myths, from the Celtic and Arthurian legends to the Ramayana and Mahabharata. It is also implied by recent scientific findings in the geological record and the biology and genetics of humans, findings which are being sequestered by those with a vested interest in maintaining the present status quo. Its greatest proof, one can argue, lies in the mysteriously destructive behavior that we modern humans have adopted toward our own home planet, the animal kingdom, and the indigenous peoples who have lived in relative harmony with the planet. In my work, I intend to show that the descendants of these ancient visitors are still in custodianship of the planet Earth. I will demonstrate that their agendas are not commensurate with the present or future best interests of Adamic mankind. Due to the surge in technological advancement, our once beauteous planet is now on the brink of ecocide, while its political and economic underclasses are subject to a very real new world order. It has been said that there is no excuse for ignorance of the law. However, it is also a truism that ignorance of the lawmakers is no excuse. The end game of the visiting alien race and their descendants is being played out in the present Silicon Age. It swiftly and relentlessly advances while most of us, preoccupied with our domestic and professional roles, have little time or energy to speculate how the multifarious phenomena of our world came into being. Adroit manipulation from those within the echelons of power make quite certain that our attention is rarely focused on the lawmakers and those in control of the economy, military, media, and technology of the world. In this book, my intention is to draw the attention of the ordinary person to the reasons why he lives in the disempowered existential state he does, and that while confined to circumscribed, socially vetted roles, he and his fellows will have little ability and less resource to prevent the evil that is evidence everywhere, especially in the so-called corridors of power. I explain why it is that in the back of every mind is the memory of a time when life was harmonious and reverent, when there was no war and little in the way of want, subjugation, or class division. I explain something of the fate of women and why it is that they have suffered the incredible atrocities they have through the post-diluvian ages. I show that they continue to be collectively punished for a certain crime they committed on this planet approximately 13,000 years ago. I make mention of the significant role that women are to play in the times ahead once they take back the power that was theirs in the days of old. In the epilogue, I continue to detail the end game which is being played out as you read. The ancient Mayan calendar stipulated the date 2012 as the end of time. It may indeed be the end of the world as we know it. The way things are going, there seems good reason for regarding ourselves on this planet to be well past the 11th hour. In fact, we are veritably at a death-can-one situation, and subconsciously everyone knows it. This book, which first appeared as a short essay, was not written in, or for, levity and is not a work of fiction. It is based on 3 decades of research and was composed in the utmost seriousness. It demands a certain austere attention where personal prejudices and partisan conditionings are temporarily, if not permanently, bracketed. I urgently implore even the most inveterate skeptic to suspend incredulity and contemplate the sublime consequences to himself, his fellows, and to the earth upon which he lives. If the question of evil could once and for all be answered and its worst effects quickly assuaged without further loss of life or welfare, however, being well aware of the state of decay in this age of entertainment and chronic narcissism, I leave to those who cannot suspend their mental and behavioral conditioning the following quote. While dedicating this book to those who now understand or in the near future will come to understand that before law, country, money, pleasure, love or even God, our supernal right and need has always been and remains freedom. For nothing is secret, that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid, that shall not be known and come abroad. Luke 8:17, Muggleton, Seattle, March 2002.